Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Denver-based jazz saxophonist and educator Keith Oxman. He talks about his 2022 CD, This One's for Joey. It was an album recorded for the Joey Pearlman Original Music Project, released on Capri Records. We covered quite a bit of ground in this interview. He's a platinum member in the reoccurring interview club for us, so there is always much to discuss. Like the life of Joe Pearlman, his great friend we just lost, and Ron Miles, COVID life, and so much more on this modern 2022 world of ours. Enjoy the interview.
How's life, man?
It's all right. It's ever-changing, you know?
Yes, it is. It certainly is.
How are you?
I'm good. I feel like you're a platinum member of the Neon Jazz Circle. You are probably one of my most interviewed subjects on the program.
I'm honored.
<That's> great, I love man. It.
Yeah, I love talking to you too, man. Every time you just you've got it down to an art, how to interview.
I appreciate it, man. I will tell you one thing that took the air out of me. It was a real warm day a few weeks ago, and I'm out on the plaza hanging out. It was one of those rare warm days, and I looked down at my phone and I saw that Ron Miles passed, and I was just kind of saw stars for a minute because I just talked to him, you know, in the fall, and
yeah.
Man. Wow.
Yeah, we talked. I think we talked just about every day during the pandemic, and I was just at the beginning of a class I had to teach for an hour and 40 minutes, and I got a text that he had passed, and I couldn't even go in the next day. I sat in this, just looking out a window, just crying all day. You know, I just, horrible.
You know, what a kind soul, and that's the thing that always stuck out to me when I interviewed him, was that he always talked low. And, you know, I remember one time I asked him, but at the same time, he was always a very powerful presence. And I remember asking him in our first interview, you know, who do you think you are? And he was like, I just want to be the guy that everybody says we all sounded good together. They don't have to remember me, but I want them to remember what we did collectively. And that was kind of his spirit. You know, he was a real Buddhist in that sense, so to speak.
There was I knew him, I guess, 41 years, and I've told people, in fact, it was funny, I had said something to somebody just a couple weeks before he had passed. I was talking to somebody, I said, I think Ron Miles is the most perfect human being I've ever known.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't even come up with the slightest negative about him other than the fact that he played better than all of us. You know, there wasn't anything to fault him on, so,
yeah.
He was something else.
He was a dynamic cat. So I guess in that vein, talking about, you know, remembering people and kind of holding people up in regards, you know, your latest album is a benefit. It's called This One's for Joey. Very interesting project. And again, another stellar performance and another stellar recording by you. So talk to me a little bit about how this actual project came to be.
Yeah, it was a surprise to me in a lot of ways. I had gotten a call, I guess it was within a month of Joey's passing. I think he passed away February 7th or 8th. I don't remember the exact date. It was one of those two. And I got a call not much after that. Somebody, I guess CCJA, Colorado Conservatory for the Jazz Arts, had gotten funding for a bunch of groups to go into the studio. And the idea was that we were going to each record a couple of tunes, and we'd have 10 hours to do it and then get it mixed and mastered. And, you know, so the studio time was all taken care of through this donation or through, I don't know if it was a donation or exactly what it was, but they had funding. And I had asked, well, how is this music going to be presented? And it didn't seem very clear to me at the time. It was sort of a work in progress, you know, everything was so new with Joey's passing. And I didn't feel comfortable doing that, so I asked if I could just record for the entire 10 hours or as much as it took to get a CD's worth of material. And then, you know, I would take care of the mixing and the mastering and hand over the couple of tunes, but at some point I was hoping that the project might get released, because this was a very special student, and I didn't, I was hoping it would eventually get released, and I, of course, was hoping Capri would do it. So that was agreed upon, and we went in, and I think it took us about 6 hours, maybe seven, to get the music recorded. And I think it, with the exception of two pieces on there, I think it was all, they were all first takes. They were all done in one take, and that's kind of how it happened. And then it ended up Tom Burns was agreeable to releasing that, and I guess it's coming out, I think April 22nd is what I heard.
So, you know, I think the one thing, we talked about Ron, and we're talking about Joey, and I think about Kansas City over this last year, and this is kind of the pall of COVID hanging over us. We're losing a lot of people, and I remember we lost Molly Hammer, which was a wonderful vocalist. She was very beloved here, and then we lost an old-time Hammond B3 cab by the name of Everett Devan, and I remember going to those memorials and kind of listening to everybody talk about the scene, and you've had a couple magnanimous hits on the Denver jazz scene. But I think what I felt is you've obviously felt the loss and the pain, but you also, I think, take stock in how strong the scene is. What's been kind of your compendium of like feelings that go into what you've experienced with this last few months?
Well, I'll tell you, it started for me in December, and between December and Ron, so that's 3 months, I've lost six people that were, five of them were musicians that I knew for over 40 years. And then another one was a guy we just played a tribute to last night, a real special guy, probably known for 15 years. His name was Daryl Oliver, and we played a big tribute celebration of life for him. And none of these people were very old. They were, you know, they were like, well, Ron was 58 and the others were in their early 60s. I'm still dealing with, you know, trying to get my arms around all of this. It doesn't make sense to me at all. And it's a cloud. I mean, you know, it's a cloud there. You know, I guess I embrace the life that's around me and the fact that I'm still standing up and walking and able to play and all of that. I guess this is a thing, you know, as you get older, these folks start to leave, and I don't even have words to describe it. Ron was incredibly, as was Joey. Those two were especially difficult.
Yeah. You know, and I've noticed lately myself, you know, I've gone to more funerals than I have in a long, long time. But I think kind of flipping the script here, you know, with the new album, with hopefully getting near the end of this pandemic, and we've been in communication since the beginning. I mean, we talked in the very beginning when we thought this would be 2-3 weeks, a month, month and a half, and now we're 2 years into it. Hopefully we're getting to a point where these variants have slowed down, vaccination, extra doses are happening. What kind of hope do you have on the horizon for promoting this new album and getting out there and just living life in a way that we've always known our whole lives?
I don't know. I'm not a very good promoter, so I don't know what I can really say about that. I mean, I'm just going to keep playing and trying to progress, you know, as a musician. I don't know personally what I'm going to be doing as far as the promotion part, but you know, I think Capri is, I mean, obviously they hooked us up, and I think they'll do some things. And I'm hoping to get back. I mean, eventually get back. I don't think things are the same, but it would be nice to get back to just feeling that same spirit of playing live again that I had felt before the pandemic. And I guess it's coming back. I mean, last night certainly was starting to feel like things used to be. But I got to tell you, Joe, this thing, I don't know if it's my weakness or what, but this thing really took a lot of fire out of me as far as like wanting to get out and play. I've turned down more engagement possibilities than I've ever turned down in my life, because there have been times I just feel like, you know, if I'm not on that instrument, working at it, I mean, working hard at it, I just really don't feel like I should be subjecting anybody to any of the sounds that might come out of it. So I've actually backed away from a lot of things, and I think it's because of what it's done emotionally, you know. And we've all gone through that. I'm not trying to you know, we've all gone through that. But for me, I don't like I just sort of feel like if I'm going to go out and play, I need to be, you know, prepared.
And I think that's been kind of the mantra with a lot of people lately, is the whole mental health of everything. You know, there's, especially being a male, I mean, there's a part of us that just push everything down to begin with. But then you take everything that we all have been dealing with for this whole time. And that's the thing. It's like there's certain things we've lived through in life where it's been like there's been one or two or three things and things might stack up. But this was every single facet of our reality was taken and turned upside down and violently shaken for 2 years, and it's still to a certain degree happening. So I totally understand. I totally respect that, and respect that in anyone, because we all want to be at the best place that we can be to do what we do best. But I think from my angle of watching and seeing this unfold from my perspective, I love that cats are continuing to put music out, and everybody needs this music. I mean, I was talking to a guy from Chicago a few weeks ago that was really tussling with this whole thing with Ukraine and everything that was going on. And what's his place in all of this? And does it really, I mean, how much of an influence does he have? And I keep thinking, if we didn't have art, music, film, visual arts during this time, we would be in a bad position. And what if some of those Ukraine refugees listen to an album that he puts out, his new album, and they feel more emboldened and more strong in their existence? I think art just has that way of regenerating, whether you actually see it or not.
Oh, sure, sure. Yeah, sure. Yeah, and then there's that whole thing over there, too, mm-hmm. which is affecting, you know, the entire planet. It's... God. Very selfishly, I'm so grateful for the childhood I had, because it was blissful, it was great. I know not everybody is fortunate enough to have that kind of childhood, but I'm so grateful for that, because I wonder, are there going to ever be those kinds of times, you know, like you say, you start to rebuild, and then all of a sudden something else happens, and it's just not a very peaceful time right now.
My hope with having, you know, kids, I have a 16-year-old stepdaughter and a 17-year-old son, and I think hopefully it's giving these younger kids a level of resilience, a way of like being able to say, okay, if this didn't work, then let's do this, and kind of working around and doing all of that. But who knows when the dust settles? I mean, I work in a school district, and I remember one of the teachers telling me a bunch of kindergartners came in with masks and they don't know anything different. It blew my mind. Like, I'm just like, wow. Like, we've had all these years with no masks and all of these things that we're living through to not deal with. But these kids, this is their life. They don't have a pre-stage. This is it. This is hit the ground running. So, you know, I think that's, and I think about that too, where we're at with our age. You know, we've experienced a lot of things on this planet that didn't have to do with the pandemic and the duress that's happening on planet Earth right now.
Yeah. I mean, I think my father, he just turned 100, and I think about the things he's been, you know, been through.
Oh,
I mean, yeah. And so in fact, I'm going to go see him today. I love talking to him and hearing about, you know, his ideas of, you know, comparing things to, you know, today, to what it was like. You know, he was in World War II. He was in the Battle of the Bulge and on the beaches of Normandy and all of that. So, I mean, he's seen a lot, and it's really interesting to talk to him. And he's very sharp, so he's completely up on what's going on in the world today. And it's very interesting talking to him.
The world needs that wisdom, and there's a lot of those old school cats that have been leaving us, and there's that old world charm. There's a resiliency, I think, that's different from that World War II generation than the newer generations. And I don't know, it's just a different time, man. You know.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, we just got to embrace those that we have around us, and just I guess it's just really about the hope, because I do see a lot of people around me and you know, close, far and wide, that are really struggling with all of this. And I think the only thing that I've really thought that's going to be the best thing for all of us is to just hold on to that hope. You know, that's really all we can
absolutely
kind of grab onto. But again, it's always so nice to talk to you. I'm so glad that you have new music out. And honestly, without absolutely any filter at all, anytime I get a Keith Oxman record, it's one of my favorites. I still listen to him in the car. I pop that thing in, and the sun shines brighter. So it's all
good.
Well,
thank you. That means the world to me. Thanks so much. Yeah, thanks so much. Always great talking to you too, Joe.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview. We'll give you a bit of insight into the finest minds and players in Denver, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Keith for his time, music, and cool. And thanks to our good friend Keith for his time, cool, and music. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz all the time, go to the NeonJazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.